Ned Lubarecki, one of my favorite banjo players. Full disclosure up front, Ned is a friend of mine. Ned you would know from the Chris Jones and the Night Drivers band, or more recently, Becky Buller band, or maybe with some touring and recording he did with Stephen Mogin. He's also a celebrated broadcaster on Sirius XM. Ned is a phenomenal banjo player, very innovative. He has a brand new album out. The title is Take Five, which is the old Dave Brubeck classic written by Paul Desmond. This album contains great bluegrass, great banjo fiddle stuff, great medleys, and also original compositions by Ned. And he covers from Thelonious Monk to Gene Roddenberry. I'll explain that a little bit later. But Ned will be my guest. A two-parter. We'll visit with Ned. A lot to cover and just a lot of good conversation with Ned. Good time. This will be first part. Second part will be next week, and it's well worth the wait. I'm really happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass, Ned Lubarecki. How you doing, Ned?
Wonderful, Steve. Good to talk to you, my friend.
It's always good to talk to you. I'm so happy. I've been listening to Take Five. I have a lot of questions for you, all of which I know you can answer. But the new CD I got, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, and you actually titled it Take Five. So you have to answer the question at some point of all the different variety of tunes you've got on here, why you went with that. But we can talk about that in a little bit. But there is on Take Five, you have several medleys of tunes. You have, I won't tell them what we'll say, what the last one is for the last bit of the interview, the last cut on the album. but you really cover a lot of, and I'm telling you, you have jazz things on here, and you have I consider Jobim to be jazz samba, but I mean, he fits in that realm. You have like three really solid, you've got Thelonious Monk on here, man. You're a banjo player. What's going through your head?
Man, yeah, radio waves, random radio waves coming through the.
I mean, it's phenomenal.
Tachyon particles. Yeah, you know, it's funny. When it came time to start making another record, it had been since forever ago that I did my next album.
Yeah, I knew that was the last.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, these things. I've always been a member of a band. So for the last 13 years, you know, I was a member of Chris Jones and the Night Drivers, and so whatever band project we were working on, that's what I was doing. Or when I was doing some stuff with Nedsky and Mojo, I was really concentrating on that. So I just didn't, you know, I had these thoughts of things that I wanted to record, but I just never got around to them because they weren't my priority. And so finally, I'd set my mind to doing an album, and there were a handful of tunes that I just knew that I'd always wanted to record, Take Five being one of them. And I knew that I didn't want to really do it as a bluegrass tune because it just doesn't lend itself to being a bluegrass tune.
No.
And I don't know any heavy jazz players. I mean, I'm not in that world, really. But when Missy Raines started her band, The New Hip, which, you know, is certainly everybody in her band is rooted in bluegrass, but they definitely lean more towards a cool jazz kind of sound or Americana or whatever you want to label them as. I just knew that that kind of groove was the band that I could do a song like that with. So I was lucky enough to talk to Missy and get the band in to record that and a couple more. But then, of course, there were some bluegrass tunes that I wanted to record. And there were some things, once I started playing in Becky Buller's band, I really love the way Becky plays the fiddle. Apparently, I'm not alone in that. I won the Fiddle Player of the Year award.
That's right.
So I was really lucky, to be able to, and this was before, you know, she was even nominated for any of those categories. But she and I were playing music together, and I just wanted to do some fiddle and banjo stuff with her. So that's how those things
Well, and you've got a lot, and I didn't mean to say what were you thinking. I wanted to know the process of why you chose those tunes.
Oh, yeah, right.
I think it's a fabulous album. I love it. I've had it in the car. I played it last night. I do a jazz show in Cincinnati. You know that. And I played Take Five because it's such great playing. And I was going to ask you about the guitar player. Is that the guitar player with the New Hip?
Well, he was. He's no longer playing with the New Hip, but his name is Ethan Ballinger. And Ethan played with Missy's band for a really long time, both acoustic and electric guitar. He actually went to college playing mandolin. He went to, I forget which school it is here in Nashville, but he was a mandolin player, but he started playing guitar in Missy's band at some point, and his guitar playing is just amazing, both acoustic and electric. When he plays electric guitar, he usually plays some sort of funky old archtop guitar, those kind that have a million knobs on them, and not even usually a real brand name or anything. And he just gets... He gets the best tone on electric guitar of anybody I've ever played with. He just gets the right amount of crack to it. It's just amazing. He controls that tone so well, and yeah, his guitar playing is one of my favorite things on that whole record.
And I love the version of Take Five. And we've had this at least past notes about what a big fan I am of Paul Desmond. And through Brubeck, I really learned that Desmond was the guy that I really liked a lot. And when I found out that John Coltrane listened mostly to one sax player. It was Paul Desmond. Then I really started listening to him. But you really do a great job with that, the melody and the thing. And then you do the vamping. And Brubeck always does. You know, depending on how long a version you got to take five, you know, Desmond takes a solo and Morello takes a solo, and there's always this vamping on the piano. So you play the lead part, and then you're playing Dave Brubeck after you play the part of Paul Desmond for a while.
Well, you know, the banjo and the piano occupy similar spaces. They have kind of the same tonality. You know, when you get that bright attack of a piano or a banjo, they can sound very similar. So yeah, it's natural that you would gravitate toward the piano vamp part on that. And you know that I learned how to play that song from a tab in Banjo Newsletter.
Really?
Yeah. this was 1,000 years ago. I don't remember what it was. I may have to look it up. To find the issue, but it was a very long time ago. It may have been in the 70s even. And somebody tabbed out a version of Take Five, and I have no idea if the way that I play it is still the way it was in that tab, but I learned it because it was just a tab in the magazine, and I didn't know the tune at all, but I read about it, and it said something about 5/4 time, and I didn't even know that was legal.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought, wait a minute, five, that's not an even number, you know. And so I didn't understand what that even meant, and I kind of learned the tune, and then when I learned how to play it from that tab, then I knew that I had to find a recording of it somewhere. So I went right out and bought that Time Out album.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, there's so many great things on there, Blue Rondo and so many other really cool-sounding things. And I've tried to work on a few of those on banjo, too. I may have to just do Ned Lubarecki plays... Dave Brubeck plays Bill Monroe at some point.
Well, and you must have been impressed enough with the tune because you've named the new album Take Five, and the album art on the front is very reminiscent of. There's a couple different album covers I've seen of that Take Five Time Out album, and so you latched onto that. And I want to do this. I want to go ahead. Let's talk about the other two jazz tunes. There's so much great bluegrass, and you have fiddle tunes, and you have original tunes. But so you go from that kind of brighter sounding and Take Five, then you do the samba, then you do Girl from Ipanema.
And I don't even know what made me decide to do that one, but I've always just loved that tune, and I promise you, the one image that I get in my mind every time I hear that song,
I know what you're going to say.
I cannot hear that song. I cannot get the image in my mind. I can't get
out of your mind.
The thought out of my mind of Jake and Elwood Blues in the elevator on the way up to pay the tax assessment on the orphanage. And they're just after the world's greatest car chase scene ever. You know, here they are in this elevator with the National Guard and everybody else coming to get them, and Girl from Ipanema is playing. So I'm going to lobby hard at IBMA this coming year to get my version of Girl from Ipanema to be played
on
in the
elevator.
The entire time.
I would like that. I'll vote for that. I think we have a meeting in June. We can work on that.
If you could do that, payola is no object. I want that to happen, man.
That to me, that whole samba thing, which, you know, I think most Americans, Stan Getz, you know, travels down and he gets credit for dragging all that rhythm up, but it's such a neat, I don't want to say relaxing, because actually it's hard on guitar. I mean, it's a lot of work on your left hand if you're trying to do those samba things, but it's such a, and you must be far away from, you're playing light, or I assume you're away from the neck.
I'm away from the bridge.
I'm sorry.
No picks. I played that one with barefoot.
Oh, there you go. Okay, all right.
That's the traditional bossa nova banjo style, is to play it without fingerprints.
No, sure. I understand.
Yeah. Everyone should know that.
Bossa grass, and then you do Blue Monk. Now I do like jazz, and to me, Monk, the timing you talk about 5/4, Monk's timing. I would, you know, if you see him on stage and he had issues and kind of wandered around, but the timing of his things was so exact. I don't even know that it fits a time measure. I don't know how you would even approach it, but you did it on Blue Monk, and it's just really great.
Well, it I learned that tune again from an old friend of mine, Ron Pennington, who was a mandolin player, and he and I played together in Paul Adkins' Borderline Band back in the 80s. But Ron had been studying jazz bass and is quite good at it. And I kind of did a pickup gig with him and a friend and just sat in, and that was one of the songs that we did was Blue Monk. And, of course, that got me into listening to some Thelonious Monk. But I always liked that tune. I just liked the kind of, boy, you and I were talking before the show about Danny Barnes, who was just on your show, Danny referring to his music sometimes as greasy.
Yeah.
And that one to me is just a greasy blues tune. You know, it's just got that greasy, lazy, you know, laid back kind of stomping feel to it that was just fun. And again, the rest of the folks on the album with Misty Raines playing bass. It's Casey Campbell, who was the mandolin player. Casey was the mandolin player in Misty Raines and the New Hip for such a short time that I don't even think he ever played a gig with them. But he was in the band when I brought him in to record, and I was really glad because I thought he just played so great. He's such a great player.
Okay, so the listeners are saying, now, wait a minute. This is jazz, but wait, there's more. There's actually, you do have bluegrass and you have original. Okay, we've covered those jazz things. You have a lot of great. Let's start. Night Driver is a tune that I think is yours.
Yeah, that was actually, well, that was the first tune that I wrote on the banjo that I got that I played on this whole album. A couple of years ago, I ended up falling in love with a banjo, which is always a dangerous thing. But it's a pre-war flathead. It's an old Style 7 top tension banjo, and I played it and I couldn't put it down. I just loved it. And the folks at the music store where I bought it, they did the classic car salesman thing where they said, "Well, why don't you just take it home with you and try it out, and you know, come back in the morning and we'll discuss." And I think they knew they had set the hook at that point. But I took the banjo home and of course just played it, and then I kind of came up with that tune. And I turned my phone on or something and recorded it, you know, so that I wouldn't forget it. And I just kept coming back to it, and it sounded really familiar to me somehow. And I kept trying to decide if it already was something. And I played it for a bunch of folks and tried to ask, you know, hey, do you know this? Does this sound like something? Is this a Monroe tune or something? And nobody could come up with it, so I just claimed it for my own.
Well,
the band on that one is Chris Jones and the Night Drivers.
Yeah.
As we were, you know, before I left the band.
And Jeremy jumps in.
Jeremy Garrett, who was in the band when I first joined.
I remember that.
By the time I was going to put the album out, I had already left Chris's band, and I kind of asked Chris if it would be okay with him to call the tune Night Driver. It actually had a couple other titles before that, and they were all misspellings or mispronunciations of Night Driver, like Night Rider or Night Riders or, you know, these kinds of things, because inevitably, everywhere that our band name would be put into a newspaper article or on a festival flyer or something, they would spell it wrong. They'd put a Y in Rider, or they, you know. They would always say the name of the band wrong.
Chris was just on the show, and I never asked him this. I'm going to ask you this. Did anyone ever call them the Night Crawlers? Because I grew up hunting for worms to go fishing as a kid.
I don't know about the Night Crawlers, but there was one time when we got called Jim Jones and the Night Drivers. And that was the one that Chris actually asked them to stop and look at it again. And it was at a festival where they had, like, volunteer MCs from who knows where. And this,
all the Kool-Aid you could drink.
All the Kool-Aid you could drink. And she had a clipboard right in front of her, and she said, "And everybody, we'd like to thank the sponsors of the festival and this, that, and the other thing." And then she looked at it and she said, "And now here's Jim Jones and Knight Rider." And Chris just looked over at her and said, "I'm sorry, can we try that again?" Yeah.
That's good. And Higher Ground, I'm sorry, there, because you got me thinking about misspeaking, so... The next thing is Higher Ground, which is written by someone that you know, and Dale Ann Bradley, and Dale Ann lends her vocals to it.
Yeah, Dale Ann, my wife Kelly, she sang and played guitar and wrote songs all through college. She used to do, and she's kind of a folky. If I were going to pin down my big influences of Earl Scruggs and J.D. Crowe and Bela Fleck, she would say the Indigo Girls, you know, would be her bailiwick. And So she's always written songs, and one day she just had, we happened to be somewhere where Dale Ann was. She said, "Hey, do you ever want to co-write?" And Dale Ann said, in typical Dale Ann fashion, she probably said, "Well, sure, darling, I would just love to come over." And, you know, Dale Ann just puts you at ease immediately. So they wrote that one, and I really liked it. You know, it's definitely bluegrass. I mean, it's two girls from West Virginia and East Kentucky singing about missing their mountain home.
That's it, man. What more could you want?
That's it.
It's so great.
We hammered that out, and then Dale Ann sang it. We got her to come in and sing it, and then Becky did the harmony vocal on it, so I have two female vocalists of the year singing on that one.
That's right. Oh, that's right. And Cleveland Park, the next tune, and it says PD, public domain, and I kept thinking, what? So I looked it up, and you know what? There's no source to it. But I kept thinking, this can't be so old of a tune, because it sounds kind of like a modern, it sounds like something you would write for a melodic-style banjo today, but it's apparently so old nobody knows who wrote it.
Yeah, and it might even have British roots or, you know, United Kingdom kind of roots.
Everything I've seen, Ned, is takes it back to some Irish or Celtic band.
Yeah, I can tell you where I found it. I was writing this series of banjo books that I have out, and the publisher of the books told me, and this is pretty standard in the banjo, in the music publishing business, if you're writing an instruction book, any piece of copywritten material that you put in there that they have to pay royalties for is money that you will not get royalties for.
Oh, okay.
So there were certain concepts. There are certain things as a banjo teacher that I teach people all the time, like, you know, Blue Ridge Cabin Home. It's a great jam session tune. Everybody should know how to play it. But I couldn't put that in the book because, you know, they would have to pay royalties for it and they wouldn't do it. And one of the concepts I was trying to do was the A minor scale and how to play songs out of it. And the song I usually use is Jerusalem Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't use Jerusalem Ridge in the book. And I thought, well, I've just got to find another good A minor tune that's traditional, that's public domain, that I can use for this. So I went to, Stephen Mogin suggested this website called thesession.org, which is a repository of fiddle tunes of all different kinds. You can search by key, by tempo, by time signature, by genre.
Really?
You can search it by anything, and then when you find them, it sends you a little MIDI file that'll just play on a MIDI player on your computer.
And this is session.org?
The session.org,
yeah. Okay, cool.
And so I put in A minor, and just a dozen pages showed up, and I just downloaded a bunch of things and then listened to them, and some of them would sound kind of cool and some of them didn't. When I hit that one, I listened to it, and I thought, whoa, that melody just was killing me. I mean, it's just one of those infectious kind of things, and so I figured it out immediately, and I didn't end up using it for the book, but I kept it in my mind and thought, I've got to use this one at some point. And so I showed it to Becky, and she was very accommodating. I really liked the sort of James Bondiness that her fiddle playing adds to it.
Yeah, it is. It's great.